Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it's hour three. We're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Daniel Jeremiah is really good, and his mock draft is out, his first one. And he has Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. He's got Trey Lance to Atlanta. So he's got four quarterbacks going in the top 10 picks. And by the way, so that's it.
And I don't. I really like Justin Fields to Carolina.
Terrific. And by the way, so Trevor Lawrence has to play day one. Zach Wilson probably plays day one. Trey Lance, he gets to sit behind Matt Ryan for 2 years, and Justin Fields gets to sit behind Teddy Bridgewater for 2 years. So, the two most talented guys, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, whose talent can overcome, you would argue, worst talent, will play immediately.
Right.
The two less talented guys get time to mature and grow into the offense. So that's the way it should be. Often it's the least, or, you know, you get all four of them have to play early. You really don't in this situation. Matt Ryan's not the problem in Atlanta. That's not their issue. Matt Ryan's fine. Teddy Bridgewater's not the problem. Their defense is. So,
and
I mean,
they sold to the Cowboys.
Do you see that? By the way, now, so what do you do with Tyron Smith? Because Dallas signed him to a 38-year contract. So what do you do with him?
Wait until week two when he gets hurt again?
Well, yeah, but yeah, I guess you're not paying him. So that would be Dallas's left. That'd be good for Dak.
You could put him at right tackle for the time being and then move him over to left when Tyron. Not a lot of time left there.
Can I see that mock draft one more time? Listen, I apologize. I'm into mock drafts. I got to see it one more tiny. Okay. Eagles get a corner. This is so exciting.
Interesting, Ja'Marr Chase going before Devontae Smith as well.
Well, Ja'Marr Chase is considered. Devontae Smith for Alabama is a great college receiver. He is pencil thin. I don't see him as a 10, 12-year player. He's just too small.
Heisman winner, though?
I know. Well, but Tebow won a Heisman. I don't get it. Heisman doesn't mean squat.
Yeah, but I mean, it's difficult to win.
They have the Giants, Heisman, according to this, going, getting a receiver, Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah.
So, you know, Daniel's stuff, these are needs. Outside of the two quarterbacks that'll sit, these are all what they need. Bengals, Rashawn Slater, left tackle, had a great game against Chase Young last year. So that's why he's moved. He was very good against Chase Young.
NFL offseason is going to be like,
oh my gosh.
This weekend's going to be amazing, and we're going to get an awesome Super Bowl no matter what happens from this weekend. But this NFL offseason is going to be tremendous.
It is. Eric Mangini in 15 minutes. He's been in a lot of these conference championships. Jason McIntyre is going to make his picks later. But NFL conference championship weekend, fantastic. Games are Sunday. I think this might be two of the greatest matchups we've seen in a very long time.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage begins at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
ButcherBox makes it easy to cook delicious fan favorites on game day. Sign up, butcherbox.com/herd. Get free pulled pork, St. Louis ribs too. Eric Mangini, 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots. He's been in a lot of these games before and a lot of them with Tom Brady, and he is now joining us live. I mean, okay, let's just talk Brady as he takes on the Packers. You've been in a lot of these games with Tom. Is the preparation different, just a little more intense, or is Tom the same in week two as he is in the Super Bowl?
No, the intensity from everybody is up to each level that you go. It's hard, though, to up Tom's intensity because he's been pretty consistent. The thing about Tom is just the confidence level that he gives everybody else because he's there. And even with a new organization, I'm sure that's permeating through through the team. But for us, you knew no matter what happened, as long as you gave him another chance, as long as you held up your end of the bargain, odds are you were going to win. And I'm sure this is the reason they brought him in, right? He goes into the phone booth, he puts on his cape, and, you know, comes out and figures out a way to win the game.
You know, it's funny. Through the years, I've talked to players who talk about this. They say that a great quarterback makes your defense better because, to your point, defensive players feel like, let's just give our guy one more shot, one more drive. Did you feel, when you were on those Patriot staffs, that there were times that Tom elevated, there was a sense that just get him the ball back, get him the ball back? Did you coach different? Did you sense that as a coach?
Well, what it does is it doesn't take the pressure off, but it allows you to go to the sidelines and exhale a little bit and talk through what the problems are, because you have the confidence to know that if you do take care of what you're supposed to take care of, odds are he's going to go down and win the game. And that's rare. I've been in plenty of situations where you're trying to win the game because you have no confidence in your quarterback whatsoever. It's just the opposite. It does allow you to relax because of the faith you have in him.
It's interesting. Tampa Bay made Aaron Rodgers very uncomfortable in their first meeting, and he really unraveled. I don't know if they can do that again. If you recall the game, was it schemes? Was it matchup issues? But to me, the first matchup, Tom was comfortable. Aaron was not as comfortable. That's what I saw.
Yeah, that's exactly what the case was. I went back and watched the game and trying to figure out how they had that explosive second quarter. They had the 28-point second quarter like the Browns had in the first quarter against the Steelers, and it was exactly that. They were finding ways to get to Aaron Rodgers, to disrupt his timing, to make him feel uncomfortable, and he has two uncharacteristic interceptions and one for a touchdown. And then you flip it and you're watching Tom and they're dropping eight and they're very rarely getting to him. There's little pressure up the middle of the offensive line, which is what affects him the most. And then not a lot of man-to-man coverage. I think they're going to have to mix in some tight man-to-man coverage so that he has to force the ball into small windows, and they're going to have to pressure him through the middle of the pocket if they don't want what happened last time to happen.
All right, Kansas City, Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes just told reporters he has cleared concussion protocol. So Patrick Mahomes is good to go on Sunday, which is good news and kind of what everybody thought. We worry more about his toe. I want to start with the Buffalo side. Buffalo's an underdog. They're on the road. What would you be telling Josh Allen in this matchup against the world champs?
Here's the thing that concerns me the most. I hear this comment about we've got to chase points a little bit. We've got to match their points. I think that's the absolute wrong approach to take. Josh Allen is already going to be pressured up. You don't want your guy to look like he's over-caffeinated, and you don't want to have him think that he has to take chances to win the game. That's where he's going to get in trouble. If anything, you want to run the ball, obviously more than they did in the first half last game, get some of those quarterback-driven runs, easy completions, throw a few of those screens because Kansas City's going to try to light them up. But don't go into the mindset with the mindset of we've got to chase points, because that's where you make huge mistakes and the game inevitably comes down to 3 points or something totally different than you thought going into it.
You know, Kansas City's interesting. Mahomes has a little bit of a ginger foot, and they have really struggled in red zone offense, Coach. 26th in the NFL in red zone offense since week 12. You get to a point, that's now who they are. That's not a game. That's not a weekend. That's who they are. I mean, you can go back to some of your Patriot teams. Is that about the push, the lack of running game? I mean, that's a real thing when you have all those weapons, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and you're bad in the red zone. You settle for field goals. What does that tell you?
Well, one of the things that you do get to do in the red zone is you get to double team players, and you have a lot more bodies compacted into a much smaller space, and then you're able to use the back of the end zone as well. So they can make things cloudy. You can do a lot of various combination coverages, whether it's on Kelce, whether it's on Hill, whatever you want to do, and that can be problematic. And usually, teams that can run the ball and run the ball with some power can go to that in the red zone and will often go to that. And then that complements what you want to do in the passing game. And it really hurts the combination coverage. Kansas City, that's not really how they're wired. And I'm sure that's led to some of the problems that they've had.
All right. I got a couple of questions. The Eagles hire a young coach that was not even a top candidate 3 weeks ago. And it does feel like, to me, it's a coach the GM, the strong-willed GM and the owner, can control. What do you make of Sirianni getting the job in Philadelphia when his name wasn't even popping up 3 weeks ago as a coach?
Well, there's a couple things here. They obviously like their previous offensive coordinator. They can't get him, so they go get the guy that he's trained and who Carson Wentz has had a lot of success with. And Colin, I think there's a real Ryan Tannehill effect going around the league where you don't want to get rid of your guy. You don't want to give up on your guy too early because you don't want him to go somewhere else and play well. And so the idea is, let's go find a way to fix this. Who gave us the most success? Try to get someone from that family tree. And you're right, too. When you get a young guy, he's not going to fight you on the decisions of personnel. He's not going to fight you in the draft room or in free agency. And I'm not saying fight in a major conflict way, but you tell him what to do. He's going to do it. He's happy to be there. And you're hoping that he can somewhat fix the problems that Wentz has had.
I want to go back to Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Arians said last week, you know, I let Brady coach. You know, they didn't do that up in New England, but I let him coach. What was your takeaway on that?
It's a couple things. I mean, you're going to criticize an organization that has 6 Super Bowls. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I agree, you should have let him coach earlier. And one of the issues I had was, his greatest strength is his mind, and you're forcing him to learn a new system and not taking advantage of that early on. Yeah, let him coach. Let him do the things that he does really well, as opposed to forcing him to do something else. And if you had done it earlier, you know, who knows? You might have had a different seed.
Yeah, you'd be playing in Tampa and not Lambeau this weekend.
You'd be playing in Tampa, and exactly.
Finally, you know, people think I don't like Baker. Not true. I am a lover, not a fighter. But I will say this. A year ago, I mean, Baltimore has already said, we're signing Lamar. Buffalo has already said in a couple of weeks, couple of months, we're signing Josh Allen. A year ago, Cleveland, despite Myles Garrett having a pretty ugly situation in a game, they re-signed him to an extension. Yet here's Baker with a playoff win, and Andrew Berry, the GM, says, well, we thought he matured a lot. And I thought to myself, well, Baltimore's going in on their guy. Buffalo's going in on their guy. Philadelphia went in on Wentz early. Patrick Mahomes got a deal early. Why isn't Cleveland giving a Baker – why aren't they signing Baker to an extension now?
Well, he has matured a lot, and I've liked the fact that he's matured a lot, and he started to see that after last season. But you want to make sure that it's not just a blip, not just a little bit of a trend, that it's really – who he's going to be, because you're talking about a significant financial commitment. You're talking about a long-term marriage, and now they've got a chance to go back, really assess how the whole season went. And in any organization, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that never gets out, and we don't know, you know, everything that took place and their overall evaluation. So there may be apprehension to really commit to a long-term marriage.
Yeah. All right. I'm not trying to start anything or rile anything up. It's just,
no, you would never do that.
No. I'm just a journalist. Just coming with straight facts. That's all
yes.
I do.
Yes.
Eric, have a great weekend. Good talking to you.
All right. We'll see you, Colin.
Go the extra mile in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win it. Just go to foxsportsradio.com. You have until January 24th to enter. What is it, the 19th today or 20th today?
22nd.
Okay, you got to do it by 22nd. Okay, you got to get on it by Sunday. Got to go foxsportsradio.com. Enter, can win this tailgate van from Mercedes-Benz. That's absolutely unbelievable. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, you just mentioned it with Eric. The Eagles hired Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni as their new head coach. And one source gave a pretty underwhelming review of him. So the Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Jeff McClain tweeted, from an NFL source familiar with Sirianni's credentials as a head coach, quote, good guy, solid candidate, fairly smart, but not super smart. Concern is he's likely to top out at a B-level coach for a team that is in the mix to make the playoffs, but not a real Super Bowl chance. Low drama, even keel.
Well, again, if this is right, that's Philadelphia's fault because Philadelphia is creating the drama. And so they went to a guy that won't create drama, but they didn't go to a great coach.
I don't like power struggles.
Yeah, but with men,
I don't think they're a reflection of a well-run organization. I think that they almost always end up in disaster. It's all about ego. It's all about who gets the credit.
Yeah.
It's all about one person's legacy over the team. And to me, the Eagles have closed their window. That's what they've done.
Like, yeah, I think you're right.
A completely winnable division.
Yeah.
You have Carson Wentz. Dak Prescott is coming back. Daniel Jones is going to be in that system another year.
But
Ron Rivera is building, already has his defense in place, is just a quarterback away from making, they won the division.
But you're forgetting something.
What am I forgetting?
Men seek power and control.
And it always works out.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I'm just saying this is part of testosterone. I think men like to control stuff. And
start putting a little extra soy milk in your latte in the morning and calm down. It's not all about
control.
Who gets the credit. It's
power.
It's ridiculous. Look.
Don't women do that ever? Don't you like power?
We love power and control. But I don't know if it's like a women-man thing. I just want to win. And if that means that somebody else temporarily gets the credit or gets some of the credit, it doesn't matter. It's not one person's solve anyway. It's not one person's responsibility. It's not one person's job. This is a huge organization with a lot of moving parts. It shouldn't be one person getting the credit for this. And I'm not saying that it is. Like, I think that the owner is way too involved. I think Howie Roseman has clearly taken a bigger chunk of the control than he necessarily should. Why wouldn't you want your head coach to have some say over personnel? Why wouldn't you collaborate? You don't have these problems in Pittsburgh. You don't have these problems in Kansas City. You don't hear about this in Buffalo.
We have more defined roles there.
Exactly. As they should be.
But guys,
I think this is a disaster. I'm not saying that Nick Sirianni won't work, but he's never been an offensive play caller, which is all we can hear about why Eric Bieniemy hasn't been hired. He's never called offensive plays. Well, neither is this guy.
Well, Bieniemy's too qualified for this job.
I just don't think that this is a good situation.
So is Brian
Dable.
It's
very obvious that they brought him. And look, to Eric's point, yes, he was the game plan guy with Frank Reich, who obviously worked well with Carson Wentz. So there's the thought that I don't think the proximity to a skill makes you skilled. So I don't know. I think that the Eagles are done for quite some time, which is disappointing because they were really set up for success and it fell apart very quickly. But it's good to have fun after you win a championship, though.
Yeah, they certainly did. A lot of books written. And
it's very hard to get to the top. It's even harder to stay there. All offensive weapons on the Bucs will be a challenge for the Packers' defense on Sunday, all their weapons. And defensive coordinator Mike Pettine is preparing to pull out all the stops to slow down Tom Brady.
We've played some good defense this year, and that's gotten us here. And there's no sense straying away from that. We're going to be who we are. We're going to throw our fastball. Our guys just have to understand that we have to. We're not going to fool him. But at the same time, we can out execute this entire offensive unit. Certainly our biggest challenge to date.
They do have a lot of offensive weapons. They will not have Antonio Brown.
He's out.
He is out. Yep. Bruce Arians said today he's out for the NFC Championship. Which he wasn't a huge contributor last week, but he is a weapon being out there, whether he's being thrown to or not. And he has been a big contributor throughout the past weeks leading up to
the good news is they've got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, and rookie Tyler Johnson, and two capable tight ends, and two capable backs. So if you were going to lose a player from any unit,
yes,
it would be their wide receiving unit. It's like Green Bay could lose a running back because they got three capable guys.
They also, Tom Brady is not beholden and doesn't lean on any one particular weapon. So obviously you'd prefer to have him out there. But either way, the Packers are still going to have their hands full, like you said. Fox bet has the Packers favored by 3.5. I still like the Packers in this game, though. I think anything can happen because it is Tom Brady in the postseason. But I'm going to lean Packers. Also this weekend's. It's obviously championship weekend.
Oh,
but we
yeah.
also get Conor McGregor
this Saturday
night. makes his return to the octagon this weekend, UFC 257.
Okay, I'll watch that Saturday
night. Saturday night, he will give you something to do. Can't go anywhere here in LA, so get a fight night. Dustin Poirier in a lightweight bout Saturday on Fight Islands, and both fighters made weight. This will be the second contest between the two. Remember, McGregor beat Poirier back in 2014 in the first round knockouts. This is only the second time that McGregor has competed at the lightweight division. He won the UFC lightweight debut in 2016 over Eddie Alvarez, and then he lost to Khabib in 2018 by submission in the fourth round. So he is 22-4. His last fight was a year ago, January 2020. Poirier's 26-6. His last fight was June of 2020. So not quite the space in between his last fight. It is a non-title fight. It's only the third time that he's fought in the lightweight division. But Khabib is there. Now, Khabib has said he is retired, right? His father unfortunately passed of COVID. Yeah. So he said he's not fighting anymore. But he is there at Fight Island because he is in the corner of his cousin who is fighting this weekend. So there could be, like, you know, the security is aware, you know, obviously there's a lot of bad blood between the two of them. Now, McGregor said he's not going to force it. He's moving on and he's just going to continue fighting. But he, obviously, Khabib and McGregor
have their issues.
Have an issue and would be a great fight to
see. Well, Khabib's just better.
Yes.
I mean, I think he bled once in his career. I think he got hit once.
He is better. And he said he's retired, but we'll see what happens after this weekend, but it's going to be a good fight.
I haven't tried McGregor. McGregor has that Irish whiskey, that commercial in the bar where he knocks it off.
It's called
Lucky
something.
Proper 12.
Proper 12.
Is it? Oh, Goulet's tried it. Have you tried it, Proper 12?
I've had Proper 12. It's very good.
Very good.
It's like Jameson.
How many do you have to have before you're improper? Did you have a couple of them?
I think it depends on if you're a whiskey drinker or not.
I'm not.
My mom likes Jameson, so she might like Proper 12. I'm not a huge... I like whiskey every once in a while.
I don't. John, do you like whiskey a lot?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I'm a whiskey person if I'm bar hopping.
Yeah, well...
You gotta stick with one drink if you're gonna bar hop.
Yeah. Well, we can't do that.
Yeah, we can't do any of that. Back in the day, in another life.
By the way, Chicago today announced they're opening up restaurants to some limited capacity. So Chicago, congratulations to one of the great American cities.
It's great.
My wife's there right now. I got clapping emojis this morning. She can go out and have dinner. Actually, good for them. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Jason McIntyre makes his NFL picks. Boy, Buffalo, Kansas City. That thing has upset written all over it. Mahomes will play, though. Concussion protocol, he has passed.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Supplement to take every morning. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Go to mdriveformen.com today. Jason McIntyre makes his picks, his football picks, every Friday on our show. The former newspaper guy predicts the headlines. He used to have to do that and then ditch that industry, and now he's over in TV and radio making the easy money. He now joins us live. All right, here we go. My favorite moment of the week. We get your picks.
Yes, let's start with
tomorrow's headlines today. Let's start. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers hosting his first NFC title game at Lambeau. The headline will be Rodgers wins goat race. Give me Green Bay at home. I like them favored by 3. I don't like the 3.5. Colin, this is an interesting situation when you look at Tom Brady having to go to cold weather. You know, usually the old guys, they stay in Florida for the winter, but now he has to go to the 27-degree weather in Green Bay. And I don't take too much stock in that earlier meeting. Remember, Green Bay jumped out to a 10-0 lead. What really rattled Rodgers was the exotic blitzes. Todd Bowles, as you know, former Jets guy, he was blitzing the linebackers and dropping the defensive line guys into coverage. And Rodgers just didn't recognize it. He was missing Alan Lazard. Davante Adams had been out for 29 straight days before that game. But the Packers are healthy now. I like them to win fairly easily. I would think double digits here. I like Aaron Rodgers to get back to the Super Bowl.
Tomorrow's headlines today. So what's it going to be for Brady and the Bucs?
Yeah, you know, it's a tough one in Tampa. The headline will be, hasta la vista, Brady. Tom Brady will go home. Now, listen, I do want to say it's been a good season, obviously, for Tampa. The 43-year-old Brady's been great. This is interesting, Colin. Nobody's really talked about it all week. Aaron Rodgers was upset that he didn't get a wide receiver drafted in any round. Tom Brady goes to Tampa. Hey, man, let's pull Gronk out of retirement. Can we go get Antonio Brown, who, by the way, is not playing this weekend? And let's go pick up Leonard Fournette. Like, the Bucs bent over backwards and got Brady everything. And they got to the NFC title game. I do believe Tampa next year will be the favorites to get to the Super Bowl in the NFC. We're not seeing a drop-off in Brady. It's just not happening. And a full year in that system with Bruce Arians, I think Tampa Bay goes into the offseason thrilled, and I think they can build on this.
Let's go to the AFC. Tomorrow's headlines today for Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, we think Mahomes is going to play, right? I mean, that's the word on the street. I know you are leaning Buffalo here. The headline will be, take Mahomes tonight. You know that Eddie Money song from the 80s. I'm a big 80s music guy. You know, I grew up on 80s music, and Patrick Mahomes rebounds. The toe injury, Colin, is what we really got to worry about, right? If it is turf toe, that could be an issue because he's dynamic scrambling. Remember, in the postseason last year, 2 touchdowns in 3 games on the ground. If you remove that element, it does concern me a little bit because we know Buffalo can score a lot. I just think this is a big narrative play that, are the Chiefs that good? You know, they haven't covered the spread in 9 games. Colin, let's remember, Patrick Mahomes, last 25 starts, 24 victories. Okay, 24 of 25. Like, Mahomes is great. The Chiefs, sure, they've taken a step back a little bit, but just because they're not covering the spread against Carolina and jokers like that, let's not diminish what they've done. They're the better team here, and they will defeat Buffalo this weekend.
All right, so the headline, tomorrow's headline, what will it be for Josh Allen and the very proud Bills? They should be proud.
Again, listen, Tom Brady, it was a positive takeaway in the loss. The headline in Buffalo will be, Allen can't catch up to Mahomes. How about the catch up? Listen, Patrick Mahomes likes catch up on everything, but Josh Allen has great news going into this offseason, right? He exceeded all expectations, right? Brian Daboll is staying. Apparently, he was upset he didn't get the Chargers job and wants nothing to do with the Houston Texans, which speaks volumes about that disaster we'll get to shortly. But he's keeping Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley. Buffalo may start next season right there on par with the Chiefs if they have a good showing. It's not really about Josh Allen. I'm not concerned about him. It's the defense, Colin. They've just gotten lucky against the Colts in the red zone, against the Ravens. They allowed in the last 2 playoff games 11 drives inside their 30-yard line.
They have.
Okay? They've given up 3 missed field goals, which Justin Tucker missed 2, which is unheard of. And then there were 4 turnovers. Like, that's not going to happen to the Chiefs. It just isn't going to keep up. I like the Chiefs to defeat the Bills in a good game, high-scoring game as well.
Yeah, I actually like Kansas City. I think it's I like lower scoring because I do think the Bills' red zone defense is good, number one since week 12, and the Chiefs' red zone offense has been in a funk for 8 weeks. But I do think Kansas City figures out a way to win. How about this one? Tomorrow's headlines today for Deshaun Watson this offseason.
Yes, now this is the big one. A lot of people are talking Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, what's going on with the quarterbacks, Carson Wentz. But the headline for Deshaun Watson will be, I'm leaving on a jet plane. He's going to the Jets, Colin. Come on, make it happen. Speak it into existence. Listen, our Jets fans, myself obviously leading the charge, we missed out on Trevor Lawrence. Wouldn't it be incredible to land then another Clemson quarterback in Deshaun Watson, who is just fed up with the situation in Houston. The owner lied to him, right? It's just a total mess in that front office. I do believe the Jets can get this done. 2 or 3 first-round picks. You flip Sam Darnold for a 2 and get a pick back. And this is a Jets team. Listen, Richard Sherman's out there saying people want to play for the new coach, Robert Saleh. And I do believe if the Jets get him, oh, Colin, the excitement. How badly would the NFL love for the New York market? You can't put the Jets on in primetime. They stink. You can't put the Giants on. They're terrible. It would be nice to have a star quarterback in New York if the Jets can pull this off. Now, I do want to say, as I was prepping for this segment, I had somebody influential in the league text me and say, listen, I'm going to tell you, I know you want him in the Jets. Colin, the team I've heard is the Carolina Panthers are a deep sleeper for Deshaun Watson, who apparently is telling some folks he would not mind going home. He grew up in Atlanta, about 4 hours from Carolina. And Matt Rhule has set up a pretty good foundation there in Carolina. They have a lot of offensive weapons. Just keep an ear out for Carolina. I'm on the Jets train, obviously. I would love that. The league would love that, but just keep an ear out for Carolina and Deshaun Watson.
Well, he'd get an offensive coach. He'd get Christian McCaffrey.
Joe Brady, yes.
That's interesting. Good stuff. Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire with McIntyre. That is his podcast every morning on iHeart. Good seeing you, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good one.
By the way, Daniel Jeremiah, who is the best mock drafter of the many mock drafters out there, released his first one today. And the reason, now, it's not just the best players in order. It is where he thinks players will get drafted based on his connections. He is a former scout with the Eagles and the Ravens and the Browns. For our radio audience, Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback to the Jags, BYU quarterback Zach Wilson to the Jets, stupendous LSU receiver Jamar Chase to Miami at 3. Atlanta gets Trey Lance, the quarterback who can sit behind Matt Ryan for a couple of years at 4. Rashawn Slater's a left tackle from Northwestern, blocked Chase Young very well a couple of years ago to the Bengals. I'd love that for Joe Burrow at 5. Alabama corner Patrick Surtain the second would go to Philadelphia at 6. Boy, he and Darius Slay, that's pretty good corners in the NFL. Devontae Smith, the Alabama wide receiver, goes 7 to Detroit. Justin Fields, Buckeye quarterback to Carolina, 8. Cowboys get Penei Sewell at 10. Giants, Jalen Waddle, the receiver, at 11. Kyle Pitts, the tight end, to San Francisco with George Kittle. Let's cross our fingers and hope that into existence. Oh, by the way, Denver gets a corner from Virginia Tech, Caleb Farley. That's just not as riveting as the other stuff. So he has 4 quarterbacks going in the top 10 picks. God,
I mean,
how do you not just sit?
You got to get the quarterback right.
I'm going to go home and just stare at his mock draft for hours. Everybody loves something. Everybody's just into, I used to know a guy that did this for a living that loved hockey and could never talk about it because you can't talk hockey on mostly unless you live in Buffalo. And we all have, I can't talk about mock drafts all day. I would if I could.
Well, I mean, no, there's a certain time in the year where you thrive and we talk about mock drafts every day.
Thrive. I need sleeping pills to get to bed. I can't even think straight. All right, for Joy and John and everybody here, thanks so much for watching us this week. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd.